I wanted to ask you, what was kind of your progression? So obviously, were you doing any fight stuff when you were wrestling? Where was that kind of progression for you to kind of go into MMA?
So like the first fights I watched with MMA were, was when Royce Gracie fought Ken Shamrock. I think it was UFC 3. UFC 3. So it might have been the rematch or whatever. But that was the first one. And then, you know, me and my friends kind of liked it, and we watched a few things, and we watched a Pancrase, and then it got taken off the pay-per-views, and we couldn't find it. So I didn't watch it again until I got to college. 97, I went to Purdue University, and Tom Erickson was an assistant coach at Purdue. He's a heavyweight coach. He was number two on the Olympic ladder behind Bruce Bumgarner for like 10 years. And Tom was fighting in Japan at the time. He was fighting with Pride. But Tom had some, you know, he had a VHS with some of his fights on it, right? So this is back in the day we were passing, we passed VHS tapes around.
Nothing, hey, nothing wrong with VHS. Oh, I might still have a couple laying around, you know?
And, man, we, it was fun to watch some of his stuff. And then, I met some guys who'd come into town and train with him, Ian Freeman, Mark Coleman. Some of those guys would come and train Gary Goodrich a lot of times, because work with wrestling and whatever. And, you know, I would meet those guys, work with those guys. I never really thought about fighting yet, really, because they there still weren't really weight classes. Everything wasn't kind of settled there. But it was probably around 99, 2000 that I started thinking maybe about it, because I saw started watching UFC again. I started noticing that, oh, and now there's time limits. Now, you know, there's rounds and there's weight classes. So I was like, oh, it's like, like I was, you know, I fought, I wrestled at 172 to 184 pretty much. It's like, I was like, I'm not going to go in there and fight Tom Erickson. No. It's like, that's a monster dude. I don't want to fight 300 pound men. Yeah. And, but then I started thinking about it towards the end of my college career, because when I started doing my observation for my teaching degree, I started seeing that, like, man, I don't know if I want to do this, because I started seeing these teachers and how these teachers were and how their souls were kind of crushed and how the kids were and how the teachers didn't have any real say in curriculum. And they were just kind of like slave babysitters. And I was like, I don't know if I want to do this. And then senior year, I had to student teach. And I was like, that was when I decided. I was like, yeah, there's no way I'm going to do this. I was like, this is not what I want to do. And I started thinking about fighting and the idea of, well, you know, if I fight and I learn how to fight and I can teach, I could see the guys were, you know, teaching things at gyms and making money that way. I was like, hey man, I can teach wrestling and I can make a life and career and not have to go and check in at a school and have somebody dictate to me how to do my job and report to anybody. And the people that are coming to me are people who want to be there, you know, it's like students that want to learn from you. So I started, you know, thinking about that. And then, you know, one thing led to another. They got me out to California, and, you know, I kept on that path and I was super happy with what I was doing out here. And then 2005, the Ultimate Fighter came around and, the scene kind of just blew up and, it became more profitable to stick with the fighting and focus on the fighting. And, you know, I always knew the fallback would be teaching. So just one of those things, run with the opportunity and make as much as I can and do as much as I can with it.
Yeah.
Now, so are you teaching now?
Yes. I'm okay. Like we said earlier, so I have my little garage set up. So I do a lot of privates and small groups in my garage. And then I do seminars. I travel for seminars. Mm-hmm. And I had one just last Saturday. I did a wrestling for Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. So I give some guys some skill, some tactics to use, because you run into some different problems when you're trying to take somebody down wearing a gi, when they can grab things and choke you and whatever. So And, you know, if you can get the takedown and pass the guard off the takedown, you, you get more points. So it helps you to have some little tricks in doing that. So I had a really good seminar, about 25 people. It was fun. I made my kids take it.
There you go.
That's awesome. Yeah.
So, John, I got to ask you one other thing, man. Transition from being a wrestler to jiu-jitsu. I know for me, I struggled, right? Because we don't want to give up our back. Mm-hmm. And granted, I had to take a couple naps before I finally learned it's okay to give up your back. Did you have that kind of same transitional issue? Or
it was when Dave Camarillo came to AKA, you know, Dave was 160 pounds soaking wet. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, screw it. I'll put the gi on. I'll just go see what class is about or whatever. And, you know, he was able to like pass my guard and hold me in position. And he felt like he was, you know, 400 pounds. And I was just like, all right, well, there's something to whatever's going on here. I'm just going to shut up about wrestling and just start over as a white belt and just, and just give myself completely to jiu-jitsu, just immerse myself in the sport and just master the sport as its own sport, its own entity. And when I was at team training or wrestler, you know, fight training, I was able to adapt the things I learned in jiu-jitsu to make it more fight oriented. And that was a huge point where my skill set started just jumping way up, because I was just like gave in to learning everything about jiu-jitsu and get good at jiu-jitsu.
But I think that, like, I think the wrestling, I'm sorry, Mark, I cut you off. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that seems like a lot of your fights, a majority of them were standing up because of your grappling was so strong, and it seemed that way. And you had good kicks and good combinations. You can see them all over the place. How many of the fights that you finished were by submission as opposed to knockouts? Because it seems like it was pretty even split.
Man, I have to go back way back.
I didn't know it was because you're such a strong grappler. And
A lot of it was you just wear the guy out, and they give you the choke, they give you whatever, you know, because they don't want to fight anymore. You know, they stick their head up like a turtle. It's like, just take the choke because I don't want to get hit anymore. my number one way to finish fights were TKOs. You know, that's how I really wanted to finish it. I didn't even really care about, you know, getting to an arm bar, getting a submission. Like, I took the easy choke when they came, but for the most part, like, I wanted to beat you into submission. I wanted you to yell to the ref, okay, I've had enough. That was the most satisfying win to me. Because with small gloves, like, anybody can land that punch. You know, anybody who lands a clean punch on the chin can get the knockout. It's not always the best guy.
Yeah.
The most talented, most skilled guy doesn't always win in a stand-up MMA fight. Just not always what happens, because the gloves are so small, and you know, guys hit hard and things can happen. So if I could, you know, take you down, beat you up, and put you to the point where, like, you're asking the referee to stop the fight, then I definitely beat you.
Yeah.
How it's better.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Rick. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off, buddy.
No, I was just going to ask, you know, the wrestling portion, because I think, you know, this day and age, you're seeing kind of wrestling slip off a little bit and everything going more to the jiu-jitsu side. But I found a great benefit, and just trying to wonder from you, as far as just body manipulation, understanding weight of people and stuff like that, when it came to, you know, the wrestling side going to jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, I mean, once I started, like, really immersing myself in jiu-jitsu and taking it seriously, I could learn quickly, because it was just, you know, an extension of wrestling moves. Mm-hmm. You know, I knew how to drill. I knew how to put things together. I knew how to chain wrestle. So being able to put techniques together in a chain with jiu-jitsu was, you know, very similar. And a lot of guys have no idea how to chain drill. Like, they don't know how to put things together in a series of movements. And, like, I think, you know, that was a big advantage I think I had over a lot of the people, is because a lot of people would just, you know, drill the one technique over and over and over again, and then they go and grapple live. Mm-hmm. Whereas if, you know, you're like, okay, well, I hit this to this to this, and then I finish here with the technique you showed or whatever. That was a big bonus.
Yeah. I just didn't see, you know, you don't see a lot of wrestlers, you know, like it was back in the day, if you want to say, you know, at least coming from what I'm seeing, the high schoolers going up, that's all. You know, it just seems like more of a push straight to just doing jiu-jitsu.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, it's weird because there's jiu-jitsu has become its own kind of entity. You know, jiu-jitsu used to be something you learned to be able to fight better, to do self-defense. It was kind of geared towards combat originally, but it's become so sport oriented now. It's a lot different. The people who are learning jiu-jitsu now and going through the process of getting their black belts and stuff today are, it's different. You know, like we didn't do a ton of leg lock stuff because, you know, you have to be really good at leg locks to hit them in fights a lot of times, because a lot of guys would get knocked out because you could still punch a guy when he's on your leg. And, you know, there are still sometimes I had fought sometimes when you could still kick and knee the guy in the head back then, you know. So it's like you're fishing for legs and the guy's got another leg free. You're going to get stomped or kicked in the face. And, you know, you see it a few times. So there was less attention placed on some of that stuff. But yeah, it's been an interesting metamorphosis, I guess, with the sport of jiu-jitsu. And some guys are just going straight into jiu-jitsu, and that's all they're doing. And, you know, my kids right now are mostly just doing jiu-jitsu. And that's just because I don't have the time to get them to the wrestling practices I'd like to get them to. And they have a little bit more fun with jiu-jitsu because, I mean, wrestling is tough, man. It's just like in your face. You gotta want to like fight every day to want to do wrestling, you know? And maybe, hopefully when they get a little closer to junior high, I'll get them more interested in it with their school. And their school, maybe we'll have a team or something. But it's kind of a pain in the butt to like, you know,
no, I got you.
Find multiple places to drive. And then, you know, I got divorced a few years ago. So, like, splitting the kids too, you have the time with them. And then, it's just a headache.
Yeah. No, hopefully, they don't get kicked out for choking everybody out. First practice. Yeah. But, you know, I wanted to get one take. I know we don't want to keep you too long, John, but wanted to get your take on this whole phenomenon that's going on with the celebrity boxing and the Triller and all that other stuff. I've never watched it. You know, I've followed it a little bit because
it's a train wreck. How can you look away?
Yeah, exactly.
Why? It is. It's a train wreck. How do you look away? I don't want to watch it or enjoy it, but I can't not focus on it. It's like that. I mean, we had celebrity boxing when we were growing up. Remember Screech and Horwitz or whatever, they boxed. Remember Mutombo and somebody fought, you know, like
it was like the Rough Man or something. It was some kind of a show they had, or
And you know, they've always done 80s had like Circus of the Stars and stuff like that, and it's pretty much the same type of thing, but except they're marketing it to these huge online fan bases and making tons of money. And I don't have any problem with people making money that way, but I think this has all been kind of set up because of the way the UFC has done business and created a focus on entertainment over sports competence. And I think some of this also falls back into the whole participation trophy thing, because when everybody gets a participation trophy and everybody's used to that, like they're not used to, you know, competence hierarchies. They're used to everybody being the same, and then they just want to be entertained. They don't have the same, I don't feel like they have the same respect for people who have like real skill. And there's more of like, I feel like people hate and have a disdain for people who have actual skill and are actually good at things. They'd rather have, you know, somebody who sucks and puts on a freak show, and they'd rather watch that than support the guy who like is really good at his craft because he put so much work and effort into being good and winning. And I feel like that push has happened partly because of the UFC's push towards entertainment over sport. And I think participation trophies have had a big part in that also, because the fan bases, they don't respect talent and hard work and the guys who are actually good at winning the way that, you know, maybe when I was younger.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think they realize like you said, the work that goes in there, right? I mean, you've got to be disciplined.
And, like, and oh, that, you you make this much money for fighting 15 minutes. I'm like,
yeah,
guys,
how much time?
It's yeah, exactly. It's not 15 minutes of work. It's like, you know, decades of work. Somebody was saying that about, oh man, who's the interim champ that just won heavyweight?
Oh,
French guy.
Yeah.
But they're, yeah, somebody was saying that. They're like, these guys are trying to hold out for more money. And they're like, well, he just made this much money in one fight or this much time. And I was like, that dude was kickboxing professionally, whatever. He's like, he's got like a 2 decades worth of work that he's put in. He's busting his ass. Like, get out of here with this. Like, oh, you made that much money in 15, 25 minutes. Like, that's loser mentality. That's participation trophy speaking right there.
Well, the next job.
How come I can't get that? How come I didn't just get to show up and fight for 15 minutes and get $800,000? That's the mentality, because they don't understand what it means to actually work and succeed for something.
Well, they don't want to. They don't want to. They just want it.
What?
They want
to get. Said the key thing. It's work.
Well, yeah, because they're used to just showing up and getting a trophy.
Exactly.
I deserve things because I was born.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
I can't stand people who say they deserve something.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Nobody deserves anything.
No. Nope.
You got to
either
work for
earn it or you don't. You earn it or you don't.
So the website is johnfitch.net, correct? Let me see if I can pull that up so everybody can see it. And I'll put it in the show notes as well. And it looks like you got all your stuff on there. You can catch your podcast on there as well. And yeah, man, it looks awesome.
I'm going to give you the...
So...
Thank you, this too. And then I sent that over in the private chat. But the I got a newsletter on there. If you go to the newsletter page, you can sign up for my newsletter. And I try to get those out once a week. Sometimes, you know, I'm slow and it takes another week or whatever. But I try to get some good stuff out to the guys with that. Keep people up to date with everything.
Yeah.
So, John, in your newsletters, you're putting out training tips, kind of what you got going on, what's your newsletters consist of, or is it just vary from
A lot of it will be training stuff. Like I put out a newsletter a couple weeks ago that had what I call 7 essential movements, and they're like seven movements that you can do on the mat by yourself that are used a lot in my system. I have my own system. FitchMash is my system. Smash is an acronym for simple measures against serious hostiles.
Okay. Yeah, I like the masculinity
measures. Simple
coaching.
Measures against serious hostiles. So I have, you know, my own system. I went through the Modern Army Combatants Program back in 2011. I got my level 4 instructor license, whatever, or certification. And when we went through that, I went through it with Dave Camarillo. We kind of went through it because we wanted to fix the problems with it, because there's a lot of goofy stuff, like pulling guard to finish a gi choke, you know, for a soldier with 50 to 70 pounds of gear on battle buddies and weapons. That's the stupidest thing you could do. Like it's really dumb. So I started thinking in the context of combat. With all of the techniques and the fighting styles and everything I was doing, I wanted to figure out what's actually the best way for your average person to win an exchange, right? So I kind of put together my FitchMash system over a few years, and I've been teaching that to people. And it's adjustable. I can adjust it for self-defense, police, military. I got one officer that I train with now. You know, your average person, really, you know, for self-defense, most of the stuff I'm teaching is like ways to avoid the fight and to get away.
Absolutely.
You're not gonna win a trophy. You're not gonna get a belt knocking somebody out, choking somebody out. Chances are you're gonna get a felony charge or a lawsuit filed against you.
Yeah.
So, John, how'd you get wrapped up with the combatives program? Did Matt ask you guys down? Like, did you go down to Benning, or how'd all that come about?
We had a teacher come out to us to do the first two levels, and that was through, like, Dave Camarillo had connections, and Dave does a lot of military work. Dave has his own guerrilla combatants program, and he goes a lot to Benning and other places too. I did the first two things here, and then did the next two levels. We went out to West Virginia, same instructor, but we're out at his gym and went went through his stuff. And then I've worked with some, I've taken on some subcontract deals, worked with people. I can't like talk about who I worked with, but like,
no, that's okay. you're fine.
Yeah, I've worked with people for different things and military guys, and you know, always got great feedback from them. I'd always like to work with more guys in that level, but I have more access to civilians now.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of focusing on that stuff. I was actually going to do, trying to do like some, get some contracts and stuff myself, but I went at kind of a different route, wanted to focus more on civilian kind of work.
But let's chat after the show.
Yeah. All right, buddy. Well, I tell you what, it's been fun having you on the show, and we'd love to have you back. Maybe do a live fight watch or something, fight party or something. But it's been a lot of fun. I enjoy your podcast, and keep that up. And we'll definitely put everything in the show notes. And congratulations on your new businesses, and it seems like it's going great, man. Really appreciate
it. Thanks, man.
Here.
Yeah, it's a grind, but you know, we're trying to make happen. Because I'm out here in California too, man. It just makes everything twice as hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got to move, brother.
Kids are here, dude.
Yeah.
I got it. Easier said than done.
Yeah. No, my sister's in Tampa, and like, I'd go right now. Cause I went and checked home prices, and like, there was like a 4-bedroom, 10 minutes from the beach for like what I already have in equity in this house. You know?
It's crazy. When I go out to California, man, I don't know how you guys do it. The gas prices alone are out of control. You know, cost
like I try not to drive anywhere. I try not to go anywhere. I try not to spend the money. And then, I use as many write-offs as I can for business expenses. And it's just, it's a pain, man.
Yeah.
They want you to be a poor servant here. They really do. Yeah.
Oh yes, they do. Trust me. Every time I go out there,
they want you in debt. They want you embedded in slave.
All right, I'm going to hit this off. I really appreciate it, pal.